Thank you. Let's all stand together for just a minute. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Of course, we're in our stewardship month, and we started last week. We talked about being joyful in our stewardship and all the areas that God has given us. God wants us to be joyful. Today, we're going to look at life. We have two options in our life, and that's what we're going to look at today. When it comes to stewarding our life, which really that's what stewardship is, we have two options. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, we'll read here and then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. Start in verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, Shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us again. We thank you for this opportunity. Speak to us through your word. May we understand a little better our lives as we think this morning about the two options we have with our life that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The verses we read here, if you notice, they were filled with choices. Choices that affect our lives. Several things were mentioned in the verses. We can invest in earthly things, or we can invest in eternal things, heavenly things. We can see life from simply a temporal perspective, or we can see life from an eternal perspective. We can focus on that which is wrong, or we can focus on that which is right. We can trust in ourselves and our needs and worry, or we can trust in God with faith, excuse me, and have peace and provision. We can seek God first and make him the priority of our lives, or we can seek ourselves and make ourselves our priority. These are no small choices, because the choices we make affect the life that we will lead. By the way, it not only affects the life that we are going to live on this earth, it also will affect us in eternity. Our choices are important. The way we choose to live our life is important. That is what stewardship is. It is realizing that my life is a gift from God, and I am accountable to him for the choices that I make in my life. If my life on this earth is a gift from God, the way God delivers it to us is the time in which we have. How are we using our lives today? That's what we're going to focus on. Let me give by way of an illustration I heard. Imagine a bank were to call you and to say, we want you to be part of an experimental program that we're going to have. We are going to each and every day at 12:01, 1 minute after midnight, we are going to deposit into your bank account $86,000 every single day. And you can spend it any way. It's not going to happen, Dave, so don't get happy. You can spend it any way you want. There's just one catch. When it comes to midnight each night, your bank account is going to zero out, and then you'll get your $86,000 for the next day. Now, by the way, I think I could live with that. How many of you could live with that? Okay. Well, what is that all about? Each of us have, each day, excuse me, each of us have, each and every day, 86,400 seconds. And once those are used, wherever we use them, or we don't use them correctly, they're wasted. They're gone. They never come back. That's our life. How are you living your life today? We need to see the life that God gives us as an opportunity. An opportunity to be used correctly. When we talk about stewardship, there are many areas of our life that we need to steward. We need to be stewards in the area of our marriage. We need to be stewards in the area of our family, of our children. the time we use, the resources that we've given to us, our health, our employment, all these things that are wrapped up in our life, we are stewards. And how are we going to use our life? As I see it, we have two options. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. When you look at how you live your life, you have two options. Let me give those to you this morning. The first option is this. You spend it. You just spend it. We use it arbitrarily with no thought as to, am I using it right? Or no thought of, am I doing something of value? It's like a person who is not good with their money. They get their money in and maybe they have enough money for their bills, but when it gets to the end of the month, it never seems to be enough. And if they were to look at it and track it, they would find areas where they are wastefully spending their money on things that are not helpful, things that are not going to help them take care of their responsibilities that they have. Turn over to Luke chapter 15. Here's how most people spend their life. We spend it like the prodigal son spent his inheritance. Luke chapter 15. We'll look at verse number 11. We know the story very, very, very well. It says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto him his living. So he goes to his dad and says, I want my inheritance now. He gives both of them. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So what does he do? He goes to some other country and he just wastes his money. Nothing but a big party. Just spend, spend, spend. Riotous living. Thing that is of no value whatsoever. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That's how most people spend their lives. Just going out and they spend their time, they waste their time of things that are of no value whatsoever. Now, if we are spenders, it tells us two things. First of all, it tells us something about ourselves. What does it tell us? Well, it tells us that we have no purpose in life. No purpose. Do you know most people have no purpose in their life? They live their life bumping around from day to day, just trying to get it up in the morning to make it to the end of the day so that we can go to bed and wake up and repeat the cycle the very next day. That's why people, thank God it's Friday. I'm living for the weekend. You know, the weekend's a waste too. Weekend's a waste. They spend their lives and they have no purpose, and one of these days we'll get to the end of our life and we'll realize it. Do you have a reason for living? See, that's why it's a good thing to be a Christian. When we got saved, we got a built-in purpose to live our lives. We're no longer living for ourselves. Our life, our purpose is now attached to our Lord. See, Christianity is just not about settling our eternal destiny. Well, I'm saved now, and I won't go to hell, and one day when I die, I'll go to heaven. There's more to it than that. God has something much better for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, that theme on the wall is not just a nice little decoration and a nice little Bible verse. Everything we do in our life ought to bring honor and glory to the living God. We're not to live for ourselves. God has given us purposes in our life. If you're saved, we're to bring honor and glory to Him. If you're married, you have a purpose to work on your marriage. If you have children, you have a purpose in your house. Those children, you have a purpose in life. People are like, well, you know, what about me and my happiness? By the way, we just live in a selfish society. People are just selfish, selfish, selfish. Every little problem in life, all they think about is themselves. How does this affect me? They don't think about their marriages. They don't think about their children. They don't think about others. Everything is about them. Their whole life is wrapped up in them. No wonder you're miserable. Happiness is not found in yourself. It's found in fulfilling your responsibility and worried about the others that God has brought into your life. Well, I'm just not happy. That's a you problem. Well, I'm doing all these things to try to if this doesn't happen that way. We talked about that last week. Joy is found in doing what God says, because God knows what is best for us. But those that have no purpose, you're trying to find purpose, and you're looking in all of the wrong places. So it tells us that we have no purpose. It also tells us we have no place. We have no direction. We have no end goal in mind in our life. You get up each day and say, man, where are we going with life? Where are we trying to get to? And I know we have things to do. We get up and got to get ready and go to work and then come home and do whatever it is. But those are just all peripheral things. There's got to be a direction we're going. There's got to be somewhere we're trying to get to. And if we're serving God, we'll get there. You know, God wants us to get up each day and say, Lord, what? I'm just going to get up today and do whatever it is you would want me to do. By the way, if you have a job, you know what God wants you to do tomorrow? He wants you to go to work. And he wants you to get there on time. So does your boss, by the way. He called and told me. And when you're there, he wants you to work. Okay? And you say, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'm doing it. And then if you have a family after work, he wants you to go home. Amen. He doesn't want you hanging around with your single friends. He doesn't want you out messing around. You got a family. Oh, but what about me? You shouldn't have got married in the first place. Okay? If you got married, you made a commitment. If you have children, you made a commitment. That was free. Thanks for coming. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what will he do? He shall direct thy paths. Amen. You know, so where does God want me to be 5 years from now? I have no idea. I know where he wants me to be tomorrow. So I'll just follow him day by day. And you know what happens? 5 years from now, you get down the path and say, hey, I'm right where God wants me to be. We don't like that, though. We like to stress. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. One thing I understand is God wants me to follow his word. See, I don't even have to pray about that. You know, well, I'm praying about doing that. You don't need to pray about it. The Bible said no. Well, I was thinking about, it doesn't matter what you're thinking. The Bible says, yes, do it. See, most of us, we're directionless. We used to have a guy, I used to work at a warehouse many years ago. And we worked on third shift. There wasn't a lot of guys there. And there wasn't a boss. And we had one guy that ran the forklift. And he would disappear for long periods of time. No one knew where he was, and then he would show up. So we kind of got the phrase that he would suffer from extended periods of aimless wandering. So, you know, he's gone. He's aimlessly wandering. That's how most people live their lives. We have no place. What else does it tell us if we're spenders? It tells us we have no plan. We have no plan, no details. You know, think about the prodigal's plan. His plan involved just a couple things. Get my dad's money, my inheritance, and spend it. He didn't think about the future. By the way, we all like the story when he came home. Oh, the prodigal returned. They had a party. You know what happened? The very next day, it was time to get up and go to work. Oh, and by the way, his inheritance was still gone. And could you imagine years later when dad died, guess who he's working for? His older brother, who was faithful. The responsibility still was all there waiting for him. But we have no plan, no detail. You know, the saddest thing to be with this, to get to the end of your life, and maybe things are happening, and maybe someday you get 60, 70, 80, you know, whatever, and you feel like, man, I don't have much time left, and you sit there and think about your life and say, wow, I didn't accomplish anything of any value. I just kind of live for me. I don't have any goals. I didn't follow God's goals for my life. We don't want to be spenders. One of the reasons we talk about stewardship is because we understand that one day each and every one of us will stand before God and give an account for the way we lived and why we lived the way we did. By the way, if you're saved, we're not going to stand before God to deal with our sins. Our sins were dealt with on the cross. But we're going to talk about how we lived our life from a stewardship aspect. Lord, did I live my life for you? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We don't want to have regrets. We don't want to have regrets. So what does spending our life, it tells us something about ourselves, and it tells God something about us. It tells God. It tells us that we're wasteful. Now, I hate waste. You ever see, people just get something, they don't take care of something, and things that are, you know, you buy and you're killed. Sometimes children can be destructive. There's wasteful, especially boys. It's like, I need shoes. It's like, man, didn't we just do this? It's like, what, do you walk on your shoes sideways? I mean, do you purposely wear them out? You know, most shoes don't wear out on the top. How many of you know that? Boys don't get that. And it's like, you know, or you see them running around, and here they are in their school dress pants, and they're on their knees. Now, I don't want to sissify them. It's like, that's fine. Go break something. That's good. But, you know, you can break your leg because, you know, we have health insurance. But, man, I have to pay for those pants. Just don't rip those things. Okay? I'm not trying to sissy them. But we are wasteful. We're not careful with the most precious thing that God has given us, and that's our time on this earth. We only get one chance to live on this earth for God. And if we're just wasting our time, God says, you're wasteful. We're spending it. We're regretted. It also shows that our life, we're doing nothing but just wandering around. We already mentioned that. When I think about a wasted life like that, just wandering around aimlessly, I think of the children of Israel in the desert. You know, here they are. They're slaves in Egypt. God brings them out of Egypt and says, I have a good place for you, the promised land. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's about a 10 or 11 day journey from Egypt to the promised land through the desert. And they spent 40 years there. You know what God's agenda for them during those 40 years were? To walk around in circle and die. You know why? Because they didn't trust him, and they complained, and they wouldn't obey him. And they, by the way, be careful what you pray. They said, would to God we die in the wilderness, and God said, okay, I'll answer that prayer. By the way, never ask God, God, give me what I deserve. Don't do that. And if you do pray that, don't stand by me. Stand by Robert. You don't want God to give you what you deserve. Joshua chapter 5, verse 6, talk about the children of Israel. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed. What a wonderful life plan. What was your plan? You know, we're going to walk around till we're all dead. Can you imagine how many funerals they had over and over and over? Why? Because they were disobedient. And they lived a miserable life, wandering around, accomplishing nothing, when right over the Jordan River, God had something good for them. How many Christians who sincerely trust Christ never get God's best for their life? Because they want to do their own thing. When God says, hey, I don't have just life for you, I have an abundant life. I have a good life. Follow me and I'll show you where it is. But we're like, no, I got it. Wandering around, wasting our time. You ever hear, why do people complain so much? I'll tell you why they complain so much, because they're just wandering around in circles. When you have no purpose in life, when everything revolves around you, you're going to complain because anything bad that goes wrong, you don't see it as something that, hey, came into my life, God will get me through this. You see it as something that affects your happiness. It affects what you want to do. And so you're going to gripe and complain. What did they do in the wilderness? All they did was complain. What else does it tell God about us? It tells God what our worth to him is. Now, when I say that, understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're not valuable to God. God loves each and every one of us regardless. But I'm talking about from an investment standpoint. Tells God that, look, the parable of the talents, what did he do? Hey, you get five, you get two, you get one. I want you to go out and use it correctly. One guy took his five, he went out, he doubled, he got 10. By the way, that's the kind of guy you want to hire, amen? Another guy went out, took his two, he got four. The other one took his, didn't do anything with it, he hid it. You know what happened? Took it away from him. It says no worth there, no value in what you're doing. So we can spend our lives. Number two, we can invest them. You see, when we invest our lives, it's not just about us. We invest it for God's good. We invest it for God's purposes. We seek to glorify God and obey him in every area in our lives. Now, the same thing is true. If spending our lives tells God something about us and tells us something about ourselves, investing our lives does the same thing. What does it tell us about ourselves? It tells us that we're accountable. Accountability. See, we understand that everything we do, like those men that were given the talents, they knew that their master was coming back and they were going to have to give an account for how they used what they had. You realize, as we mentioned earlier, one day we are accountable to God. By the way, if there's no accountability, people have a tendency to fly. I remember years ago when we first moved back to California from Florida, I got a job at Toshiba in Irvine, and I went in there. And I got hired. I went to orientation. First day of work. We either start at 6, 7, or 8. It rotated. I come into work early. I always show up a little early. And when the time started for us to go to work, there was three of us there. Now, it was a crew of about 15 or 20 guys. And one of the guys walked up to me and says, "You're new here, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Do you always show up to work on time?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do." He goes, "Well, get used to being one of the few that do." Now, you know why everybody was late? Because we didn't have a punch clock. We had the little time cards. We would pull them out, and we would write out our time that we got in. And all the other guys would come in 10 or 15 minutes late, and they would just write that they were in on time, and the boss didn't care. But I was a Christian. I'm like, "Man, I got to be here on time. I got to write that thing down." Remember one time I got stuck in traffic. I was 5 minutes late. Like, am I going to write that down? Yes. But I wrote it so he couldn't see it. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of like hieroglyphics, you know, hopefully interpret that. But you know why those guys were constantly late? No accountability whatsoever. None. When we don't realize we're accountable to God, we have a tendency to float and do our own thing. We ought to live in such a way that God can look at us, say we're not perfect, but we're trying to live our lives and invested in what God would want us to invest our lives in. And we're not just wasting it. The fear of the Lord, we talk about that. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." What is the fear of the Lord? Is the fear of the Lord walking around that at any time God's going to crush me? No. The fear of the Lord is like a child that has a good father that disciplines them when they do wrong. You don't fear your dad, but you know if you cross that line, dad's going to hold you accountable, and you're in trouble. You understand the difference there. You know your dad loves you, but you know what? You violated a rule, now you're going to pay the consequence. The fear of the Lord is like, "Lord, I understand that everything I do, everything I say, everything I think, I'm accountable to you for that." And it keeps us in line. It also tells us that we're accepting. In other words, when we when we when when uh, when we're investing our life, what we're saying is, Lord, I'm accepting the fact that I am a steward of everything that you give me. And we've said this many times. When it comes to being a steward is someone who manages everything that's been given to them. As a steward, we manage our life that God has given to us. The question is never, are we a steward or not? That's not the question. The question is, what kind of steward are we going to be? Now, you say, well, I'm just not even going to think about it. Then you're choosing, by not thinking about it, you're choosing to be a bad steward. Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. So when we're investing our life by using it the way God would want us to use it, what we're saying is, Lord, I accept the fact that I am a steward and I will live my life to the best of my ability the way I can. And then the last thing is this. What does investing our life tell God about us? Let's read a couple of verses here and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 25. Why don't you flip over there for me? Matthew chapter 25. We've referenced the story of the talents, and we're going to read a few verses here. Matthew chapter 25, we'll start in verse 20. We'll read four verses. It says this in verse 20. And so he that had received five, this is the reckoning time. The master's back. So he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. I'm sure the Lord's like, hey, that's good stuff right there. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. So these were the men that took it seriously, and they invested that which God gave them. What did it tell them? It told them that these men were faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithfulness is a very hard trait to find in people anymore. You ask the average person, hey, can you do something? I need you to take this responsibility. They'll do it a couple times, and usually you can't find them. I don't know how many of you remember, we had a guy in our church, Yerot. He's back east now, but Yerot was a different kind of guy, but real quiet, you know, and just kind of different. But I remember we were at the other church, and I think at that time I was helping in the school running PE, and I needed some stuff set up. I asked him one time. I said, hey, Yerot, I need you. Can you set this stuff up every Tuesday and Thursday? One time I asked the guy, and that whole year I never had to worry about it. Never reminded him. I never said anything else to him. Just every Tuesday and Thursday I went there, I knew it'd be set up. Faithful. People aren't faithful anymore. We just aren't. Corinthians tells us it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Faithful. And when we're investing our lives, you know what we're telling God? You know what, God? You can count on me. You know, I would want to be somebody that God could count on. I want to be someone that God would say, you know, like when Satan goes up, when Satan was talking to God and God said, hey, you know what? Have you considered my servant Job? Check this guy out. I mean, they weren't even up there to talk about Job. But God said, hey, I want to point out somebody to you. This guy's a real deal. I'd want to be that kind of person. That God can look and say, that guy faithfully serves me year in and year out. Sometimes people, they get saved, they start coming to church, and man, they are so excited. And then 4 months later, you can't find them. You could send the FBI after them, they're not going to find them. It's not how you do 3 months after you meet the Lord. It's how are you doing 30 years after you meet the Lord. Are you serving him? Faithful. Being the church faithful, serving God faithful. Whenever we invest our life, we're fruitful. They went out and took those talents, they invested them, and they doubled them. Whenever we're faithful to God and we use our life the way we're supposed to use it, God blesses it. As John mentioned, the area even of just giving, when we give to the Lord, God doesn't just bless us, he blesses every area of our life. When we give our time to God, when we love him and serve him and give all that we have to him, God blesses it. And then I would say, if we invest, we're favored. He gave those guys more. He blessed them. How are you living your life today? When you get up each day, is it all just only about you? Does everything revolve around you? If things come into your day each day that kind of turn what you had planned, how do you react? Or do you get up each day and say, Lord, I'm yours today. I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to do the things I need to do. But Lord, I'm doing this for you. And help me to bring honor and glory to you today. Or are you just wasting your life? You know, I got up and I felt like coming to church, so I thought I'd come today. You know, I felt like I just, you know, got no plan. You're going nowhere. God gives the ultimate purpose in life. You say, but I have a purpose. My goal is to be rich. You know why you want to be rich? Because you think that'll meet all your needs. You think that's going to bring you happiness, and you think that's going to bring you joy. And what's going to happen is you might attain it, and you're going to turn around and realize that's not the purpose of life. I wasted my time doing that. Now, by the way, if you work hard. I mean, if someone at your place has to get raises, it might as well be you. But don't live for that. Have a better purpose in life. And that purpose is to live for God and invest my life in what God wants me to invest it in. That's where the joy is found. Let's all stand together this morning.